Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying. This is coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church, and our study is in 2 Corinthians, and today we are on Lesson 6, Chapter 6. And this chapter is about being a servant of Christ. So, for those that have just joined us, I do ask that you go back and review. And that's what I'm going to do for you today, is to kind of review the first 5 chapters. But you need to go back and read those to bring you up to date. But I'll give a brief review. But let us pray first. Our Heavenly Father, we need you this day. We need you to give us the wisdom and knowledge of your word that we may understand your truths and not only hear, but I pray that we will heed your word and we will go out into the world and proclaim your truths, Father, to glorify your name. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So let's begin our lesson by reviewing these first chapters. We know that Paul explained in this second letter that he is sending to the Corinthians his reason for not coming to them at this time. The reason he said was that he didn't want to go again and be sorrowful. So he spared the Corinthians by not going to see them at this time. Then in the second chapter, we learned that there were false teachings at Corinth, and people there were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. And as we went on into chapter 3, Paul gives a contrast of the ministry of the Spirit and the new covenant with the old covenant, the law. And probably the reason he did this was because there were false apostles in Corinth that were teaching the old covenant. And then in chapter 4, Paul said for them not to lose heart in their ministry, even when facing afflictions. And he continued writing about the ministry of reconciliation. And that was being reconciled to God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And through this knowledge, they were printing the gospel so that people could be saved, be reconciled back to God. And he explained in this chapter that once they were reconciled back to God, they were new creatures. They were dead to their sins, but they had become new in life, spiritual life, to the Lord. And then in chapter 5 that we studied last week, it was about Paul and Timothy being ambassadors for Christ. And we know and we learned in the Word that all believers, all those that are reconciled back to God, we too have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are not able to save or to reconcile or bring back a person into relationship with God. Christ did that on the cross when he died for our sins. And it was only through his blood that anyone could be saved. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." But once we have believed this, and we are reconciled, then we are given the gift of reconciliation. And what that is, when we proclaim the gospel of Christ to unbelievers, we are giving them the plan of our salvation that will bring them back to the Father. We're not doing the reconciling, but we're giving them the way of reconciliation. So that puts us into today's lesson, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read the first 3 verses. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. So here in these verses, flowing from the last chapter, chapter 5, verse 17, you have to go back to the context to understand. He says, working together in him. In him is who? And it's working together with Christ because of being righteous and receiving the ministry of reconciliation. Paul here is urging the Corinthians not to receive God's grace in vain. And verse 2 gives a quote from the Old Testament. It says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. And so, what is he saying? This is like Isaiah 49, verses 7, 8. And I want to read these verses quickly. Isaiah 49, verses 7 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. So what is he saying here? The Lord said to the despised one, the one abhorred by the nation, it's a prophecy referring to Jesus Christ. And Paul applied verse 8 himself to the Corinthians. He said, the Lord helps, and this is the day of salvation, the time to be ambassadors for Christ. It's time to give the message of reconciliation. It's time for you to proclaim the gospel, the message of reconciliation. That is the message. So we learned in 1 Corinthians, as we studied chapter 15, verse 10, God's grace is within believers. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, We also read where God's faithfulness to provide the way of escape, to endure trials, not allowing believers to be tempted beyond what they are able to handle. And so, as we studied 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, 2 and 8 through 10, we learned that the life of Jesus is within. So, believers, Paul was telling all these at Corinth, and he's speaking to us as believers today, not to lose heart. So let's go further now into the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, starting with verse 4 through 10. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and honor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making much rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. So the third verse said, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. So what Paul is saying now in these verses is not giving any cause for offense. No obstacle. So God's ministry of reconciliation is not discredited. So he said all of these things, endurance, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, but he says in knowledge and patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, love, truth, power of God. He said, giving no cause for offense toward the reconciliation of bringing the word, the gospel, to those that are lost. Even though we go through these things, he is saying that it should not keep us from all of these obstacles, from carrying the ministry of reconciliation, and it should not cause it to be discredited. So this list here in 3 through 10, we see different categories. Verses 4 through 5 is talking about physical suffering, okay? And then verses 6 through 7, he's talking about positive spiritual characteristics. And then 8 through 10 is contrast. So that's what we learned, that he is speaking to us in these verses. And so let's go on now, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own afflictions. Now, in like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. He's talking about his relationship with the Corinthians. He said that his heart is opened wide to them. And he goes on to say that you are not restrained by us. You're not held back. To restrain something is to keep back, to keep it from taking place. But you are restrained in your own afflictions. You're held back not by us, not by the preaching of the word, but you yourselves are the restrained. It's your afflictions that restrains you. Now, he said, I'm speaking to you as you are children. And, you know, as we've studied earlier in our study, Paul called them children because they had not grown up. They had received the Lord, but they had not applied it and grown up. And so Timothy and he are trying to get them to understand that they needed to grow in the grace and knowledge that God had given them. Their affections had turned to false teaching, and some Judaizers teaching the old covenant, but some holding still to adultery. They had to let go of the old way that they had been under before they had accepted the gospel and received the Lord Jesus. So let's go on to finish up, this chapter, and we're going to read verses 14 through chapter 7, 1. Okay. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light and darkness? This is a contrast that he's making. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from the midst and separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And then, if you go to chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, Therefore, now that I've explained all of this, all of this contrast, he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, and here we call them beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we're seeing here, it's a warning. Paul says, don't be bound, or in other words, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Bound is to be yoked together with something of a different kind. And so he says, don't be bound as believers with unbelievers. Don't associate with them. And he goes on to describe the Corinthians. He said that you are believers. In verse 16, he said, you are the temple of God. He says, first, in verse 14, that you are righteousness and that you are light and not darkness. Verse 15, he says that you are believers. And verse 16, he said you are the temple of God. And in verse 16, he also says that you are God's people. And in he goes on then to say that you are, in verse 18, sons and daughters. You're sons and daughters of Jesus, of Christ, of God. And then as we read in verse 1 of chapter 7, he says that you're beloved. Paul is calling them the beloved. So, how does all of this relate to verses 1 through 13? How did Paul begin the chapter? He was saying to them as Corinthians, and he's speaking to us today, not to receive God's grace in vain. Says, now is the day of salvation, and we are ambassadors, remember? We studied in chapter 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to represent Him. We are to be messengers to carry the gospel. So, Paul, in writing this letter, it seems that some of these Corinthians were putting them together with faults and where they should be ministers of reconciliation. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, we learned that the Corinthians had been idol worshipers before they were saved, before Paul and Timothy took the gospel and they believed. Now, I want to read some cross-reference. Let's go to Exodus 29:43-46. And I will go there quickly. Exodus 29. And I'm reading 43-46. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priest. I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and later the temple, was God's dwelling place among the people. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And what are the instructions that we see in verse 17? God is saying, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean. Come out. So again, we see he uses quoting that was in Isaiah 52:11, he said, and do not touch what is unclean. So, as we look at some more cross-reference that is found in the New Testament, we want to go to John 17. And I want to read quickly these verses 20 through 23. And this is Jesus. And this is the Lord as he prayed. Verse 20 of chapter 17 of John. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I'm going to read on through 23. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Oh my, what a precious prayer that Jesus prayed for us there before he went to the cross, that we might be one in him, just as he and the Father were one together. And so now let's go on and see some more cross reference that'll help us to understand. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7:16 and see what God did here in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. So God instructed his people not to make covenants with people who didn't know him, because he had chosen them as a special people, and they were his people. And that's what he is saying to them. As we read and study in this chapter, and we're going to close now this chapter, but before we do, what do you think would be a theme that we would use? What is this chapter about? What are the highlights, the key words? The key words we found was ministry and rejoice. So what Paul is saying is there's no cause for offense. And then he also says, don't be bound to unbelievers. So there's no cause for offense, / don't be bound to unbelievers. That is exactly what Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians, and he's also teaching us today as we study the precious word. And we will close in prayer. Father, we know that only the Holy Spirit can teach us. We can be instruments that God uses, and using his word, the Holy Spirit can give us understanding. And I do pray that as we've studied today, that each of us have received more understanding of what a great and mighty God that you are, and how that we are blessed through the precious blood of Jesus, that we have been reconciled and brought back to God because we believe that Jesus died for our sins. that God raised him the third day. And we believe, as Jesus prayed, that we be one in him. We believe that he is also one in you, Father. And I pray, Father, that each of us today will live our lives to glorify your name. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.